The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the very first Wrestling with Jonas of 2024, episode 340. I'm delighted to be speaking to my guest over on my right hand side there. Looks like one half of the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions, one of the standout trainees at ASW South, Brandon Lee. Brandon, great to have you on the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really well. It's an absolute pleasure to finally be on the show. I've wanted to be on for a little while now, seeing all my friends do it. And it's about time it's my go.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I've been eagerly awaiting getting you on the show as well. And like I said, I've become a bit of a fan of yours over 2023. And we're going to get into all of that. We're going to get into your wrestling fandom, your early years in the business, and the last couple of years, which I know have been absolutely fantastic for in 2023 in particular. A lot of highlights there. And what 2024 looks like for Brandon Lee. But just a quick reminder before we take a deep dive with Brandon of some of my recent guests. And of course, we're talking guests from December 2023 now. And of course, the Stallion Chris Bronson was one of my guests in December 2023, along with Superstar, the Queen of Mean, Lana Austin. Please go and check that out on my YouTube channel or any audio platforms where you might listen to this. And of course, British wrestling legend Johnny Saint, episode 7. Of my Legends Masterclass series, part one and part two are out now. Please go and check that out. It was my honor, my privilege to spend a couple of hours in the presence of Johnny Saint, a worldwide legend, renowned all over the world. And go and check that one out on YouTube or whatever audio platform you listen to this on. And of course, my last live interview was with Dr. Tom Pritchard, and a fantastic interview that was. We went about an hour and a half talking about not just JPWA, his training school over in Knoxville, Tennessee, but his 40 years in the business. Go and check that one out also. And just looking ahead to the rest of January, 2024 looks a bit like this. Of course, we've got Brandon Lee today. Next Tuesday, we've got Tommy Lawrence coming onto the show live on Wrestling with Jonas. The 17th of January, we've got Marwaz Kaven. The 23rd, we've got Nightshade, and Axel Carter will be rounded off the month on the 30th of January. And of course, my next live interview, of course, with Tommy Lawrence, just mentioned him. But today, it's all about this guy here, one half of the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions, Brandon Lee. And Brandon, we're going to talk about that in 2023. But the last time we saw one another was only 6 days ago. I think it was 6 days ago. And to my surprise, I walked into the Electorate Ballroom, and one of the first people I bumped into, almost quite literally, was you in a red ring crew top. And it was a pleasure and a delight to bump into you. And even more so when I knew that you were going to be working ring crew for that show, Unboxing. How was your progress experience? How was your ring crew experience last Saturday?
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's just nice to be a part of those shows, even if it is just in a small way, like crewing, just to see what it's all about, see what the atmosphere is like there. And I couldn't praise it enough, really.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I know not only were the talent getting very, very physical, then I've got to say Unboxing, I think, one of the best shows of the year. And let's say it was at the very end of the year, but it's an incredible show. You were up close and personal to all the action. And I think the ring crew got quite physical, quite involved in one or two of the matches. One match in particular that really jumps out at me was the street fight between Tate Mayfairs and Simon Miller. That was a hell of an experience, and legitimately, like I say, one of the last shows of the year, but one of the best matches of the year as far as I was concerned. It was so action-packed, you were up close and personal. I think there was one move in particular, one spot in particular, where Simon Miller speared Tate Mayfairs off the stage onto all the ring crew waiting underneath. I think all of you took a tumble for that, but you guys got a bit physical as well as the talent.
Yeah, it was a I wouldn't say surreal experience, because I've met people in the business before, but when I was little, I watched a lot of Simon. I say little, But when I was younger, I watched a lot of Simon Miller's videos online, as we all did. So it was kind of like, I have to catch this man. If I don't catch him properly, I'm going to be so ashamed of myself.
Absolutely. But to you guys, yeah, it did a wonderful job crewing that whole show and that match in particular. But after that match, it was the interval and you guys had the task of clearing up the ring from all the thumbtacks, the broken bits of wood. I think there were tables destroyed in that ring. There was a door destroyed in that ring. But all the hundreds, thousands of thumbtacks, you guys were there with your pans and brushes and your vacuum cleaners. This task of the night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very fun. Thumbtacks do hurt.
Oh, they certainly do. Yeah, they certainly do.
They definitely hurt.
Now, thank you so much to everybody at home that's tuned in. We've got quite a few questions that have come through already, but we are live across Facebook, across YouTube, across Twitch, and now X. So if you're watching us live, thank you so much for tuning in. Happy New Year. Happy 2024 to everybody watching at home. And thank you so much for supporting and watching Wrestling with Jonas, especially in our first interview of 2024. But if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do. Just send us your questions through to us using your chosen device. We'll do our very best to ask Brandon Lee all the questions as they come through. We've had a lot of questions come through already, but please send them through. We'll do our best to bring them up live during the course of this interview. But we were talking a bit off air, weren't we, Brandon, and talking a bit about your growth and your development as a professional wrestler, as an overall performer and athlete in the business. And where would you kind of sum yourself up now as compared to the end of 2022? So in the last 12 months, where would you say, you know, your growth has been as a performer? And kind of how would you sum up your last 12 months December 2022 through till now?
Oh, it was weird. It all really started kick off for me last summer. So what was it, 2022? And I started get more bookings, more work with people, being on the road a bit more. And then ever since December of last year, it's just been consistent. Like, I scrolled through my calendar the other day and there was maybe like 1 week I had off, like the whole year. And it's been so consistent. I feel so blessed to have these opportunities and work for these companies. Like, it's not always been the same companies. There's always been different ones that have come and gone. But I just feel blessed to be able to wrestle and do what I love this much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose putting in their reps and getting the experience. But where would you say, you know, some of your main areas of growth has been in the last 12 months? I mean, thinking back to 12 months ago, beginning of 2023 through till now, where would you say you've grown as a performer?
I'd say definitely I've grown a lot in confidence and just being able to structure things out in my head, definitely. That's just come from reps. But overall, in the past 12 months, I think the thing that's improved the most, if you saw pictures of me in November, December last year, I look like, the nicest way to put it is I look like a bit of a skinny nerd, like very gangly. I've become a bit of a man over the past year. I've got put on a bit of size, put on a bit of weight. And I feel like more of a wrestler instead of someone that's like cosplaying a wrestler, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like I feel the boots a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about kind of your physique and your stature. How you have kind of grown as a kind of a physical, specimen as well, you could say. But would you consider, or do you feel like you've had a breakout year yet? I mean, you said that 2023 was a very, very busy, and quite a successful year for you. But would you consider that a breakout year, or do you feel that you're still putting the building blocks in place and maybe 2024 could be that breakout year?
I wouldn't really put labels on anything, because it's always the next thing and moving on and working hard for the next thing. So if I was to say, like, I thought 2022 was because I managed to get on the camps and do a lot of shows at the tail end of that year, it was amazing. I thought, oh, this is as good as it gets. And then this year has been completely phenomenal, out of the water, astonishing. So I'm just waiting to see what this year holds, really. I'm not going to put labels on anything. I'm just going to take it as it comes and hope for the best.
Yeah, very wise, very wise. And as we start a new year, as we start 2024, where's your kind of head at? Where's your mindset at as we lead into 2024? I don't know if you've had your first show yet or whether it's just around the corner. It could possibly be tomorrow. But where's your head at regarding 2024 and how you're going to tackle this new year in pro wrestling?
I don't think what I'm doing is wrong. It's obviously going quite well for me at the moment. I'm just going to keep working hard, training hard, and just doing a bit more networking, being a bit more social with people and getting out to places. Like you saw me the other day at Progress.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a foot in the door at those big, big companies and work my way in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just one more thing on that Progress appearance and that ring crew in the Progress show unboxing last weekend. What was your biggest kind of takeaway? And like I say, as a developing professional wrestler, a few years in and kind of finding your feet, those sort of experiences are always very, very valuable. And like I say, the biggest, the best, the greatest of all, you know, been part of a ring crew at one time or another in their life. What's kind of some of your takeaways from that experience, especially with it being such a tremendous show for such a well-respected company?
I'm not sure if it was much of a takeaway, but this is the thing that's like stuck in my mind. It was seeing all the high level of production, the way they treat everything so meticulously, everything has to be right. I really like that. And it's just a place where I'm like, I need to be here. I want to be here. And like, that's probably one of my main goals for this year is to try and get on. But I guess that is also everyone's goal as an independent wrestler in England. So might be a bit generic to say that, but everyone there was so lovely. It was so professional. It felt like as close as I've ever been to a WWE show, really. Yeah. It felt phenomenal.
Absolutely. You've got the taste now, but you've got the taste for it, and you want more. You definitely want more. And, you know, Progress, another top company alongside Progress, of course, is TNT. And just around the corner, February the 3rd, Brandon Lee will be entering into the Ignition Rumble for TNT. I think TNT Ignition is their slightly more family-friendly branch of TNT. You won't be getting involved in any death matches that day, I'm sure. Or certainly you hope not. But the TNT Ignition Rumble, like I say, it's one of their big shows to kick off the year. And it's absolutely stacked. I've seen the lineup, and it also includes a certain person that you know very well, Nathan Angel.
I don't think I've seen talking, that man before
we'll,
in my
we'll
life.
Be, we'll be talking a little bit about him a bit later on, I'm sure. But you must be looking forward to and quite excited for your appearance for TNT in their Ignition Rumble.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really excited. I'm still a bit shocked that it's happening because TNT is one of the biggest companies in England. It's a great opportunity and be able to meet people up there. I know Mad Dog Mike Angus is there and I love that man, so I get to spend a bit of time with him whenever I can. So it's going to be just a great experience to be in that atmosphere and that locker room. And yeah,
Have you got many experiences or much of an experience of being in Rumble matches? Have you got a little bit of a game plan in mind based on past experiences? How are you going to tackle this one? I mean, put it this way, there's not going to be many that are as tall or as, you know, as big as yourself in that ring. So you do have an advantage straight away.
Oh, I'll just team up with Nathan Angel.
And then turn on him at the very end.
Yeah, of course. He's not going to win. I'll win.
Speaking of Mike Angus, I did have this picture here. I think this might have been backstage at the ballroom. Just to prove that you were there and that he was there for sure. We're going to talk about a lot of your highlights from 2023, but I think the first one that really stands out has to be this here. I mentioned it in the intro, being one half of the WrestleForce tag team champions against wrestling's very own calendar icon, Nathan Angel, the pin-up boy of British professional wrestling. And there you are, a good-looking bunch of boys, if ever I've seen it. But the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions, that sounds pretty good when I sound that. But how does it feel to be one half of the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions?
It's It's pretty cool to have a belt, to be honest, because ever since I was a little kid, I always wanted my own belt. You know, it's just one of those things that you, as growing up, you kind of wanted one. And it was just so sweet as well to be with Nathan as well, because we travel so much together. We're phenomenal friends, and it's just lovely to actually be it with him as well. You know, yeah. It was a great, it was just, yeah, it was really fun. It was a great experience. And, well, we still have them, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, I mean, I think the two of you have maybe been working for WrestleForce or on WrestleForce shows for roughly the same length of time. The two of you have had a nice little run and a nice little journey with WrestleForce. I think besides all the other promotions that you've wrestled for, WrestleForce, you know, have given you a lot of opportunities and really put a lot of time and effort into the two of you. What's your kind of WrestleForce journey been so far? It looks like you've had a ton of fun.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I think I started, my first match at WrestleForce was on October 1st, 2022 in, oh, where was it? New Milton. So it's not too far from where I live. So I think that's why they booked me, because I was very close. And they must have seen someone or liked me or thought, yeah, he's all right. We'll get him back for another one. And it's kind of just slowly snowballed from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to bring up some pictures of you roughing people up in a WrestleForce ring. There you go. Some good pictures there. And I think some of these might have been your solo outings. Might have been from a tag team competition, I'm not sure, but definitely laying the beating into your opponents there, and that's a really cool shot. Like I say, with Nathan Angel, one half of the tag team champions, how many title defenses have you had so far? I've got a rough idea that it might be a couple of defenses so far.
Well, me and Nathan might like to Hulk Hogan it a little bit and say about 80, but it's, I think, about seven
defenses so far,
roughly.
See, that's not bad. And what I did like about some of these photos, I'm going to bring it back up, is the teamwork from the two of you as well. And I recognise Kieran Lacey, because I've worked with him a couple of times at shows, and he was actually alongside Mark True in his Progress debut this past Saturday. Some tremendous photos. And I got a big shout out to Matt Raven, and I will be crediting him an awful lot during the course of this interview for all the wonderful pictures. And there you are, yourself and Nathan Angel. But you said that Nathan's one of your closest buddies in the business, one of your best friends in wrestling. But as the pictures demonstrated there, that the chemistry is there between the two of you as well. And I know that the two of you train, at Joel's ASW South from the new unit there in Salisbury. We'll talk all about that, of course. But the two of you just click in the ring. And let's say you've got a ton of matches against one another. But as a tag team, as one half of the Prestige, or as the Prestige, the two of you have some great chemistry.
Yeah, well, I think it's just because we learn how to wrestle together, so we have a lot of the same ideas, or if we, one of us has an idea, we also like it or make it better, just because we have like the same psychology and we like the same type of wrestling, so we're always quite on the same wavelength with things. So it's quite absolutely nice. There's no like bickering or be like, oh, let's not do that. We're always quite on the same page. It's nice.
Absolutely. And one other photo I want to bring up now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this looks awfully like Legion of Doom's Doomsday device. Now, I don't know whether that's where you got it from. You can tell that I'm definitely a fan of the early 90s wrestling. Mm-hmm. The Road Warriors Legion of Doom were definitely one of my favorites. I mean, to be honest with you, they were the favourites of anybody that saw them, because they were just awesome to watch. Just a complete couple of beasts there. But is that, have I got my kind of my thinking correct there? Is that the Legion of Doom's Doomsday device? Or close
yes,
to?
Yes, it is. We wanted to, like, originally we were going to do like a superplex into a frog splash from like separate corners, but we realised that's sometimes a bit messy. And we can't get him in the right places. And I can't do a frog splash. So if the wrong person is on the wrong side, it's a bit ski whiff. So we've done a move where we can just interchange it. So it's a lot more simple, a lot easier. And it's a cool move. It looks very visual.
It really does. It looks, you know, maybe like a top rope lariat into an electric chair there, but very, very good, very, very visual. And I've seen you out and about around the country at various shows and met you and spoken to you a few times. One of the places was this one here, and it was ASW Sales' first ever show, the 30th of July this past summer. You went up against one of the very finest pro wrestlers in the UK, Charlie Sterling, one half of the Smoking Aces, one half of the Progress Tag Team Champions. And he was there at Unboxing this past Saturday as well. But when you found out that you were going to be working Charlie Sterling on ASW Sales' first ever show from the Studio Theatre in Salisbury, what was going through your mind? Your mind must have been racing when Joel told you that Charlie was going to be your opponent.
I was nervous to say the least, because Charlie is phenomenal. I can't praise him enough for what he does. I love all his in-ring work and his just everything he does. If you watch some of my stuff, I do quite a bit of what Charlie does as well, because I like it so much. I try to put my own spin on it, but it was the biggest match of my career until that point. And that was the first time in a while where I felt a bit nervous going into a match. And it's quite nice to have that feeling back sometimes of like, right, I need to be on it. But the match itself was my best match at the time, I'd say. Probably not to do with me, probably to do with Charlie Sterling, but I can't praise that man enough. He was phenomenal in the ring to work with, planning with. It was just great. He gave me great feedback afterwards, and anytime I see him, he always says hello and is very kind towards me.
Yeah, he's easily one of the best pros in the UK, like I say, extremely talented. I think he's been massively underrated over the years, and I think he's finally getting his props. But ASW South have had a second show, haven't they, this past December? I think it's the 16th of December from the Studio Theatre, and we've mentioned this man a couple of times already, but your opponent this time around was Nathan Angel. Now, what I noticed between those two matches in particular, and I did watch the matches back-to-back, and there's probably 5 months apart between those two matches, July through to December, and I think you definitely appear a lot more confident coming out the curtain. You've got a bit more presence about you, and I just feel that you kind of hit the ground running as soon as that bell rings. So there does seem to be a little bit of growth and a little bit more confidence in you between those two matches in particular. Like I said, there's only 5 months apart, but I certainly noticed a difference. Did you feel any different, or did you notice any difference between those two matches?
Yeah, definitely. I've grown a lot more in confidence since then. I think that was because it was obviously the biggest match of my career so far, wrestling Charlie Sterling, who Joel raves about, Bullet raves about. And he's on Progress. He's one of the best in the country. James Mason raves about him. So I was a bit like, oh, if I don't do very well here, it's on me. But yeah. Definitely, if I was to have that match again now, I feel like I would do. I wouldn't say it was a bad match I had, but I would do so much better in most aspects, I'd say.
That's all part of the learning curve, isn't it? And I'm sure you'll get another opportunity to work Charlie Sterling somewhere down the line. Let's jump to a couple of questions, because we've had a ton of questions that have come through, and we're nearly 25 minutes into this interview already. It's absolutely flying. Now, some of these will come through without an actual name. Now, if you're watching this via Facebook Live, go to streamyard.com/Facebook. That's streamyard.com/Facebook, and then your icon picture and your name will appear on this stream, but some of these won't, but I will tell you who they're from. First of all, Dan Patterson, somebody you know very well, somebody who recently performed on ASW South's second show, he loved your match between Charlie Sterling, with Charlie Sterling and yourself. I think Dan Patterson was one of the ring announcers for that show and recently made his debut for ASW South.
And I loved his match against Ripper Reed.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
It was a very good match against Ripper Reed.
And Dan Patterson again, question for Brand. Do you prefer wrestling against Nathan or tagging with him? So I'm sure Nathan would probably pop up in this conversation at some point, I'm guessing. But any preference? I mean, like I say, we've spoken about your partnership as one half of the Prestige, one half of the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions. And then we've spoken about the match you had with him December the 16th for ASW South. And I'm sure you've had many more matches against Nathan Angel. But do you have any preference?
I very much love wrestling Nathan, just because we don't always do the same match, to be honest. It's, we like to mix it up now. When we first started, we do very similar things, but now we just go in with a clean slate every time, and we know how each other move, we know how each other works, so there's no stress there. It's really, really nice. It's, yeah, he's my favorite opponent by far.
Absolutely. And he's a good guy. And I hear he's got a calendar out as well. Don't know if you're aware of that. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
let's have a quick look. I'll have to figure out who sent some of these. We've got Megan. Megan Harlan, a friend of the show and fan of yours, and a fellow trainee at ASW South. Let's have a look. Okay. Here we go. Probably jumping the gun a little bit here. We'll probably get to a bit more of this. But in your wrestling career, what's been your biggest highlight so far? We'll probably talk about more during the course of the conversation. But any particular standout moments from your career so far? And thank you, Megan, for sending in the question.
Off the top of my head, I'd probably say wrestling Charlie Sterling. Definitely.
Big moment for sure.
Yeah, we'll probably get more deeper into that later and I'll think of something else, but straight off the top of my head, with no thinking, it's wrestling Charlie Sterling was like the biggest thing for me.
There we go. Any more questions? Let's have a look. Megan, clearly a big fan of yours. Thank you, Megan. Keep sending in those questions. Rich is watching us at home via YouTube. Happy New Year, Jonas and Brandon. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
Don't know if you know this guy, Ben Pumphrey. Never heard of him. Ooh, who's your favourite trainer? Tough question.
This is a loaded question, John.
Niwa, by any chance?
No comment.
Okay.
No comment.
I hear, you know, Bullet's quite a good trainer as well, from what I hear. That's what he tells
phenomenal.
Me.
I'm sure we'll get into ASW South and I'll be able to talk all about that soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ben, for watching. Thanks, keep sending in your questions. And one more. Now, I happen to know that this one is from a certain Ripper Reed, from Skinny Nerd to King of the Goth Bars. Brandon is one of the hardest workers, working wrestlers in the country. 2024 is going to be a big one. Ripper will always blow him up, though. And thank you so much. And you mentioned Dan Patterson's match against Ripper Reed at ASW South Show 2, December 16th. Ooh. And
I'm pretty sure Dan Patterson blew Ripper Reed up in that one, to be honest. Ooh. I think he was feeling it that day. So that is the word on the street. You didn't hear it from me, Jonas, but
there we go. That is the word on the street, apparently.
Should have seen Ripper Reed backstage afterwards.
One of the last times I saw you certainly the last match I saw you work was this one here for Southwest Wrestling from the Tewkesbury Watson Hall against Miles Kamen. Now, I've got a funny feeling that this was a first-time encounter for the two of you. But Miles, going to be a guest on the show in a couple of weeks' time and doing wonderful things kind of more northwest of the UK. I'm assuming it's a first-time encounter, but tell us about it. What was your experience of wrestling Miles Kamen on a SWW show? I think it was October time.
Yeah, it was October. That was my second show of that day. So we got there a little bit late, just as doors were opening. And I'd never met Miles before. I didn't know if I was going into that as a blue eye or a villain. I thought I would end up being blue eye because I saw Miles online. He's a very good villain. And he's more popular online than I am. So I thought that would be the case. But me and him, straight away, it kind of clicked. It felt like we knew what each other wanted, knew what we wanted from the match. And the match itself, I'm quite happy with. I'm not usually a blue eye, but I went out there with confidence and got the crowd going, and we just kind of gelled. It was he's a lovely guy and phenomenal to work with. I couldn't praise him enough. I'd love to work him again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very curious about what you said there, because I wanted to bring up your character work, because in the majority of the matches that are out there on YouTube, and certainly the majority of the matches that I've seen you work in the flesh in 2023, you have worked a villain, a heel. In that match, you did have to work a babyface. You do occasionally work babyface for other promotions, I think, maybe Rumble Wrestling or one or two others. Do you have any preference as far as working babyface or villain? There must be pros and cons to work in both, but does it depend on the crowd? And do you have any preference?
I do prefer working villain. I think it's what I'm more comfortable with. And I think I look more like a villain than I am a blue eye, to be honest. I've got the long hair, tattoos. Exactly. I just
that look screams villain like, all day long, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's the role I'm more comfortable in. But I do enjoy wrestling blue eye. I will never turn it down, because it's a fun experience to get the crowd behind you and have that little cheeky grin. And wrestling as a whole is obviously a lot of fun, but wrestling blue eye sometimes is just a different level of fun.
Absolutely. I think we're going to take a deeper dive into your persona and your character a little bit later on, but I'm curious to know a bit about your wrestling fandom. Now, I think you said off air that you're 25, so I'm guessing that you've been a wrestling fan for a fair while. Tell us a little bit about when wrestling first came into your life, what sort of impact it had on you, what some of your lasting memories from when you first kind of came across pro wrestling.
So this is such a weird way to be introduced to wrestling, but this is my very first memory of watching wrestling. It was in 2006, and this is going to sound like an absolute lie, but this is exactly the moment I started watching. It was the first thing I saw. It was the Edge and Lita live sex celebration.
Wow, what an introduction to professional wrestling.
as like an 8-year-old child, I was like, I'm in. I'm in.
hooked for life after that moment.
Yeah, I think I continued watching on and off. I didn't watch like every week. I wasn't very consistent with it until about 2010, just before Edge retired. And then I came back just after WrestleMania 30 and then watched until Goldberg came back. And I was like, oh, I'm not interested in this. And then I came back around again about 4 years ago now.
So just before the pandemic, maybe 2018, 2019, and the Brit wrestling was red hot, but WWE was doing some good stuff around then, if I remember rightly. Thinking back to your kind of earlier years as a wrestling fan, were there any larger than life characters that kind of really drew you in or maybe inspired you or kind of made you more of a fan?
Edge, definitely. I just latched at Edge a lot. Undertaker, definitely as well, but he was my dad's favorite, so I kind of latched onto him because my dad liked him as well. Who else was there? CM Punk. I love CM Punk because I always wanted to have long hair tattoos. And I was like, that guy looks like how I want to look. So latched onto that. Or like an alternative guy with Edge as well, like alternative looking people. And that's kind of what I always latched onto.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, I can see a little bit of the influence of some of those in you now. What was that kind of fateful day, that kind of day when you made the decision that you wanted to find a school and start training? Kind of what did that look like? And had it been a long-term desire of yours to maybe one day want to be a pro wrestler? Tell us about that part of your journey.
I remember being at a job I didn't like at all. And I turned to I was a manager, not my employees, but one of the people that was like working for me at the time. And I went, wouldn't it be cool if I was a professional wrestler? And I did that. And they were like, yeah, ha ha. And I never really thought about it much. And then it was in lockdown. I wasn't doing anything. I was just inside all day, much like other people were. And I started to get fully back into wrestling again. And I was looking online because I was very not an educated fan at this point. of like, oh, what's really good matches to watch? Because I only knew of like WWE and NXT. And I came across Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. And I watched like all four of their matches. And I remember halfway through the second one, I was like, you know what? I want to give this a go. Because this is like captivated me so much that I would like to try and be able to replicate something like this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like I say, after seeing them matches, who wouldn't be inspired to want to kind of buy a pair of wrestling boots and find a local school? I'm going to bring up a picture here. It's from probably what you're already good 6 months in, maybe, but this is from February 2022. I think
that is.
Yeah, but you know, off camera, I think you told me that you had your first match August 21. So by February, you were maybe 6 to 8 months in, but already wrestling in a all-star wrestling ring and going up against another fantastic talent and a former guest of the show, Ollie Blake, of course. So I'm going to bring up that picture again. But did you ever imagine so early in your career that you'd be wrestling for all-star wrestling? One of the kind of the cornerstones of British wrestling, the longest running touring brands possibly in the world, but certainly in the UK.
No, not at all, especially in a singles match. Before I had that match, though, I was going along to shows with Joel because he invited me to come along and like see what these shows are like, to see like where the level is that I need to get to. And I was putting the rumbles at the end and stuff like that just for a bit of experience. And those were like terrifying at the time. I remember it was like within my first 10-5 matches, I was being thrown into rumbles for All-Star with like the likes of Bullet, Dan Maloney, Joel, wow, Charlie Sterling. And I was like, why am I here?
You must have felt a little bit out of your depth with some of the names you just mentioned there and being so fresh and so new to the business. And I mean, how did you get on All-Star Wrestling's radar to start off with?
Just through Joel. I have so much to thank through Joel, because obviously he's their champion. He's the top guy there. But he decided to bring me along. He must have seen something in me that, just to get me out there, get me some experience in front of big crowds and with big names, just to calm the nerves of when this eventually does happen to me.
Yeah, yeah. And companies like All Star Wrestling and Superstars of Wrestling, big touring brands, they do a lot of summer camps, at holiday camps, I should say. And with those sort of companies, once you kind of got your foot in the door, the repetitions, you know, is extraordinary, you know, up to a dozen matches per week and really cutting your teeth and finding your feet within that ring. So I suppose the learning process, once you kind of started working for All-Star and maybe Superstars of Wrestling, the learning curve was extraordinary, especially once again, being so new to the business.
Yeah, cool. I would say I learned how to wrestle on the camps. For like any young wrestler coming up, I would just beg them to try and work on camp shows and do that, because without that, I wouldn't have got anywhere near to the level I'm at now. Even though some people do look down on them a little bit, because it is obviously it's a camp show, it's a bit campy, it's not all serious wrestling, but you need to learn how to work the crowd and know what they want at certain times and be able to listen to them. And it's the best place to learn, because there's not going to be someone in the crowd recording you and putting it on Twitter or X or Instagram going, this guy's blah blah blah, you know.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect place to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've had Joel on here a couple of times. I think during our first conversation a couple of years back, he said that, you know, working the holiday camps is amazing, because you're working in front of non-wrestling fans. And if you can get, you know, non-wrestling fans, especially the mum and the dad, to invest in the action, to really buy into what's going on, who were previously not wrestling fans, but if you can get them hollering and shouting as well as the kids, you know you're doing your job right.
Yeah, it's a great feeling to like walk into a room where maybe like 10% of the people have watched wrestling before, and at the end they're so invested in what you're doing and your performance. It's just, there's nothing like it really. It's just a massive pat on the back and knowing that you're doing right.
Yeah, yeah. And the crowds tend to be quite large crowds as well, huge crowds in some cases, especially some of the holiday camps. I mean, I don't know specifically where you've performed for or in front of, but some of them holiday camp crowds can be quite large and maybe slightly intimidating, especially if you're not used to it.
Well, funny story. The first ever camp show I did was for James Mason in a place called Ruder, I think. It took like three hours to get there, and I was really nervous going because I think I've met James once or twice before, because I've done a couple of his shows, helped on merch, did the Rumbles. Not sure if he remembered me at the time. I went there and I was really nervous going into this match, thinking I had to really perform and do well. And there was 14 people in the crowd because it was like 40 degrees outside. I don't know if that helped or made it worse, but
Yeah, the last thing you're going to want to do when it's 40 degrees is sit in a room and watch wrestling. But I do know the crowds can get quite big at some of these holiday camps because they're a captive audience. You know, well, yeah. What else? If the weather's not gorgeous outside, what else are they going to do besides watch wrestling?
I do Selsey quite a lot with James Selsey. Like, I think it's in Portsmouth, Seal Bay. And I think the biggest we had over this summer period was like 950.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't realize how many people were in there because we weren't really like looking. We were just doing the job. And then they said afterwards, we were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose you're kind of, you know, zoned into what you need to do and, you know, try not to kind of look too far out, otherwise it will be quite intimidating. But you mentioned off air, we spoke a little bit about James Mason, and once again, good friend of mine, good friend of the show. And we've spoken about superstars of wrestling, and James is kind of, you know, closely connected with that group, with that touring brand. You said that thanks to James, he's been an important part of your wrestling career, due to the opportunities he's given you. So tell us a little bit about James and what those opportunities might have consisted of, or how you believe he's kind of been a crucial part of your career so far.
Well, the first time I met him was through Joel. I owe everything to Joel. He'll come up a lot. But yeah, he took me along to one of the shows, and I was then put in a rumble at the end with phenomenal people like Lee Hunter, Dan Maloney, Joel, Kian Kelly. And yeah, I was just thrown in, not the deep end because it was a rumble, but it was still quite intimidating for me. And I was only like, I looked like a skinny, runty nerd. So just to have those opportunities was great. And then I got the opportunity to work for him at a camp show, that one I just spoke about last summer. And it kind of just went from there. And I owe a lot to him because not many people would have put on this like small lanky guy who was a bit pale and had bad tattoos, but he stood by me and did me right. And I do pretty much near all of his shows now. He always books me, always treats me very well, lets me wrestle people like Jack Selstrom on his shows, and that was phenomenal. I wrestled Joel on one of his shows, but I can't praise him enough. He always gives me like phenomenal feedback after matches that he's refereed as well, which has been so vital to my progression, because obviously it's James Mason. He knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to wrestling. And I always take his advice and roll with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to jump to a few more questions because we've had a ton of questions. If I don't start reading them out now, I'll run out of time. But we've mentioned this guy before, Ollie Blake, watching us live via YouTube. Thank you so much, Ollie. And such a wonderful guest when I had him on the show, I think more than a year ago now. Ever done a Canadian Destroyer? So add a bit of context. I'm guessing there's a funny story behind this one. But what is Ollie Blake on about there?
So me and Ollie Blake wrestled probably just over a year ago now. If anyone wants to be weird and sadistic, they can find this clip on YouTube. We planned to do a Canadian Destroyer. I had never given a Canadian Destroyer. and Ollie Blake had never taken a Canadian destroyer. But we didn't. We were like, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be all right. And I've gone to give it to him. It was a really cool way to get into it. Brilliant setup. And as I've done it, I've jumped. And he hasn't, like, grabbed hold of my legs. So I just land on the floor on my ass. And I'm like, where is he? It happened so slowly in my head, but it must have been like that. I've gone, where is he? And he just lands right in front of me. And I'm like, I mean, we got there.
Unbelievable.
It's a great clip. No one knows can find it.
It's got to be out. It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. I'm sure it's got to be out there. I'm not sure who sent this one in, but someone said best tan in the game. Oh. Got to agree.
That could be anyone, actually.
I'll try and find out. Like I say, go to streamyard.com/Facebook and then we'll be able to see your name and your icon picture. Let's see if there's any more that I can read out straight away. Okay, a few that I might hold off until the end there. But let's talk a bit more about Joel and embarrass Mr. Redmond a little bit more. But you mentioned that he was quite pivotal in your career early on. When did you start training with him? When did you start training at ASW South? Because before they opened up their lovely new facility unit in Salisbury, they were training out of the attic at my gym in Salisbury. And I think you're in that picture there somewhere, towards the back, I think. And there's a few familiar faces there, including Bullets and, some other familiar faces. Yeah. Joel at the very back there. But tell us a bit about kind of starting your training with ASW South. And, of course, since they've opened up the new unit, wonderful facility, and it's really gone from strength to strength. But what's your experience of starting with ASW South in your journey so far?
Going originally, before I got there and saw who was there, it was a bit intimidating because there's some big names in British wrestling that go there, such as like Niwa, Bullet, and obviously Joel Redmond. But once I got there, I felt at home because everyone's so lovely. We worked really hard. Like really hard in training. I'm not sure if anyone could put a dime on the training, but that's my opinion. I'm not sure if Joel would say the same thing or Bullet or Niwa would, but we train extremely hard and work on the nitty gritty. But in that attic was just different because obviously there was no ring. So he taught us how to wrestle the old British style, just chain wrestling, all the little tricks and stuff that other people might not have shown, because if you started wrestling in a ring, they're obviously going to show you some bits and then move on to like rope running and involving the ring itself, which I'm not knocking in any way because we do wrestle in a ring. But having the wrestling on the mats was so vital to my progression because I feel like I could go out there with minimal, hardly any planning and just wrestle anyone because I know how to move my body and put on holds and work these type of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at kind of ASW South now, and of course they've put on two shows featuring a lot of their trainees and their tremendous kind of up and coming talent. But I mean, you look at three talents in particular that Joel has had a massive hand in training. There's yourself, Ripper Reed, and Nathan Angel. And then underneath that, you've got another wonderful collection of talent that are coming through and are really going to have their breakout moments in the next 12, 24 months. But it really is a fantastic kind of proving grounds and a fantastic facility and training school for breeding great talent for the future. And it's a very exciting crop that are coming up, including the three that I mentioned. But tell us a bit about kind of that atmosphere and the feeling within ASW itself that kind of gives it that edge, I suppose, and breed so many awesome, wonderful talent.
Well, I'm not sure if this will go with your question, but this came in my head as you were speaking. But when I was going to a lot of the sessions at the beginning, because I had a lot of free time in the evenings, so I could go to the beginner sessions as well as all the other ones. And when I went to the beginners, I was like, oh, I'm not sure how well some of these guys are going to do. But and then for a while, I went away from the beginners, and then some went into the intermediates, and some are now in advanced. And I can't praise the training staff we have enough, because seeing the progression of these beginners in such little time is absolutely phenomenal. They're doing things that I never thought like they would be able to do, some things that I can't even do. it's honestly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I really think that's just down to the nurturing nature and the way they're trained.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just that kind of culture within ASW South that's really bringing along this extraordinary talent, an exciting crop for the future, for sure. But let's talk a bit about yourself and your stature, your physique. You're 6'3", aren't you? And 230, 240 pounds, which is about 16, 17 stone. And you look every bit a professional wrestler. But there's a lot of work and a lot of effort that's gone into the Brandon Lee of 2023 going into 2024, hasn't there? Tell us a little bit about, because, you know, without wanting to embarrass you, I know you've come a long way in terms of your physique and this body transformation, maybe over the last 3 or 4 years through to the professional wrestler that we know now. Tell us a little bit about that journey, Brandon.
Well, it started off on the exact same day that I said when I watched that match in lockdown where I decided I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And I was severely overweight, like morbidly obese. I think I was 126 kilos, like not athletic at all. I hadn't done any exercise in years. I used to be a semi-professional footballer, but I gave that up because I didn't enjoy it anymore. It was too competitive and I didn't like it. But I was like, you know what? I'm in the kind of a dead end job. I really don't enjoy what I do. So why don't I really give it a punt, see where I go with it? It's probably not going to end up going anywhere, but then I can say I've tried to do what I really want to do. So once that day happened where like a switch just went off in my brain, I started dieting, doing exercise that I could over lockdown, losing weight. And then I think I lost about 20 kilos and then I started wrestling training, got myself a PT, and I was still losing weight while I started wrestling. And I think I got down to 83 kilos. I looked so skinny there. It wasn't good, but I needed to lose all of what I had to then build. It took years. It was a lot of hard work, dedication, but I always had the goal in mind that I wanted to be a wrestler. And I feel like I've worked quite hard for it. It wasn't just something that happened overnight. It was years of work, discipline, mm-hmm. and grind.
Oh, 100%. And just a couple of recent pictures. Shout out to Matt Raven again. But there we go. I mean, showing off a really, really great stature, great physique, and an awesome tan as well. But I mean, what goes into Brandon Lee, you know, of 2024, what's your kind of daily or weekly routine, you know, dietary wise, workout wise? And you're obviously still working very hard on your physique, not just to maintain it, but to improve it further. So what's going into it on a daily or weekly basis currently?
Well, at the moment, I'm just trying to recover after Christmas still, because that was a heavy time. I went on a stag do like 3-4 days before Christmas, leading up to Christmas, and then Christmas Day, obviously. And then I had a family meal Boxing Day, and then I was on the road for 3 days afterwards, and I just couldn't meal prep. So I'm kind of just recovering from that. Going to the gym can be quite hard with shows and the normal job, but I'm fitting in at least 4 times a week, trying to get the cardio in, but Joel sorts us out with the cardio and upper training, so I don't really worry too much about that. But try and eat clean as much as I can, but being on the road and being with Nathan, it's difficult to eat clean.
Absolutely. I'm going to jump to another question, somebody that I know very well and have worked with at shows over the years, Frankie T. Frankie says, I remember his first match that he had with Brandon, and I knew then that he was destined for great things. Very proud of you. Any memories of working with or against Frankie T?
So, yes, I worked Frankie T on my fifth match ever. And we played a spot where I caught him for a suicide dive. I hit him and I hooked him for a suplex, and I was meant to suplex him on the apron. I missed the apron, and he just landed on the hard floor.
Ooh.
Yeah. I kind of just stood there, and I was like, oh, shit.
Well, it sounds like he's forgiven you anyway. Only jokes.
I hope so.
We've got watching us live via YouTube, the future Let's Play. Who are some of your dream opponents, maybe from Wales? And have you wrestled any Welsh talent before? So I know you've wrestled for some touring brands, as we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. Ever ventured into Wales? And any talent from Wales that you have worked with or maybe that you'd like to?
So I have worked James Ellis in a triple threat match, but that was in my first 20 matches. So this, I'm calling out James Ellis right now. I want to wrestle you. I need you.
The Brill.
James Ellis, the Brill. Good as gold.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's on a roll brilliant. As well. So let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Let's see if there's any that I haven't got to yet. Somebody asking when is your calendar coming out, as their mum really wants one. There we go. 2025, who knows?
Who is this person?
I will try and find out. I will try and find out.
I'm curious. I'm cooking up something, and people will see.
Absolutely.
I promise. That's... it's a calendar.
Let's have a look. I'll come back to some. Oh, here we go. We got Charlotte Jessica. What was your favorite match from the last year? So we've spoken about a lot of highlights. You mentioned Charlie Sterling, but any other matches that really stand out from the last 12 months?
So I wrestled Nathan Angel at CSF. I can't remember when it was, but like maybe it was September time. And we did everything. It was basically WrestleMania. It was a hard hitting match. I think the doctor said I fractured my elbow, but it wasn't really fractured after that match. But it's honestly one of my favorite matches I've ever had. And we were trying to get footage from it because apparently it was recorded, but we've never seen it. So it's kind of like just what it's the one that got away. We've got no footage of it. But we did everything.
There we go. If anybody watching or listening at home is familiar with that match from CSF last year, then send Brandon the video link, please. Charlotte, again, what's the best venue that you've wrestled in so far and why? So I'm sure you've come across some quite interesting, wonderful and weird and maybe grand venues in your last couple of years, any that really stand out?
I wrestled so I've got two that stick out of my mind straight away. Selsey, Seal Bay, the camp show that I do, Superstars of Wrestling, is amazing because they have like a smoke machine at the front and the screen's open and you walk out the screen, you feel like a wrestler, you feel like a superstar. And there was this one beautiful one, which I think you have some pictures of when I was with the Flag, which was for Rumble Wrestling. And that venue was gorgeous. It was a theatre and it looked the absolute business. I felt like a superstar. Yeah, again.
There we go.
And so those are my two favourite. Couple of pictures. I can't remember where that is.
There we go. But obviously a fan favourite, a bit of a baby face there by the looks of it. And I love the picture with the Flag. Really, really cool image there. Matt Raven again. I actually met Matt at Progress. I think Matt was at Unboxing on Saturday and got to briefly say hello to him. Let's see where we are with the notes. We kind of got carried away with all the questions there, but there we go. Some of your featured moves. Now I've seen a ton of your matches, and like I say, 6'3", 230, 240 pounds, but you can certainly shift around that ring when you really, really need to. And some of the moves that really stand out, you've got a power bomb, you've got a claymore kick, you've got...
Hold on. I know a certain trainer is watching. I do not do a claymore kick. It is a running the psycho knee. I will get in trouble if you say it as a Claymore kick.
Okay. Yes, we know a certain trainer's watching. Okay, it's how Brandon describes it there. But and also the Ushiguroshi, which I think is one of your trademark moves, maybe your finisher that you put a lot of your opponents away. But tell us a little bit about your move set, because I'm quite interested and kind of how you adopted some of their moves and how you utilize them. But tell us a little bit about some of your favorite moves then, Brandon.
I don't know, I kind of just adopted them over time, just trial and error, really. It's obviously evolved throughout how long I've been wrestling. It changes constantly, but I've tried some stuff and it hasn't worked. Like a rolling cutter through the ropes, that was awful. I'm too gangly for that, but I thought it looked cool at the time and it didn't. It's just a lot of trial and error, and I like to do things that I don't really see often. So, like, I like the Ushiguroshi thing because I hadn't seen anyone do it at that time. But, yeah, literally today I saw a clip of the new Japan Wrestle Kingdom freeway and Finley does it, and I was like, ah, brilliant. But I like to do a blue Thunderbomb just because I was a big fan of Sami Zayn when he came into NXT. What else do I do? Can't remember anything else. The running Psycho knee that Danielson uses, because I'm a big Danielson fan. I can't remember any other moves that I do now.
Absolutely. I think that's the blue Thunderbomb that you might have been referring to.
No, that is the powerbomb where we smashed their backs together and did a powerbomb.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That was the culmination of what happened there, for sure. But very impressive with the moveset that you're putting together, for sure. Let's just see exactly where I am. And do you take any inspiration from any of the wrestlers? I mean, bearing in mind that you're 6'3", I mean, when I've seen your matches, now I'm probably going to get laughed at here, but the way your stature and the way you move around the ring is very reminiscent to Hunter Hearst Helmsley from circa 1995, when he was the famous Blue Blood. I just feel like you've got the same sort of stature and the same sort of look and the same sort of movement around the ring. So we're talking early Triple H years here. But anybody else that you've taken inspiration from or maybe feel like you work similar to?
I feel like I work, I take a lot of inspiration from Charlie Sterling, definitely, just because he's a big guy. I love his cells. He's a big guy, but he doesn't wrestle like he is that big. So I appreciate that a lot. Edge, definitely. I watch quite a few Edge matches. Who would I watch now? Damian Priest, I like a lot of his stuff as well. And weirdly enough, Kyle Fletcher.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can see that.
Those are my main ones. And Danielson. I'll pretty much watch all of Danielson's stuff.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see Carl Fletcher and one or two of the others that you mentioned there. But Charlie Sterling, he's just a phenomenon, isn't he, really? He shouldn't be allowed to do half the stuff he does in the ring. No. He's just a freak of nature with what he does and what he's capable of. Fantastic. Now, looking ahead to 2024, we mentioned earlier about your entry into the Ignition Rumble, February the 3rd, so just around the corner. Have you got any other bookings that are already kind of in the diary, or maybe you've written down on the Nathan Angel calendar? What your book is looking like for the first few months of the year that we can get excited about or maybe see you perform at?
Yeah, again, I'm blessed. I'm quite busy. This month I'm taking a little bit of time off just to do some social media stuff, which people will see very soon. I'll talk to you about that afterwards if you like, Jonas. Yeah, I'll leave that in the dark for the people. Next week I'm wrestling Joel Redman at EWA. So I'm really looking forward to wrestling the coach again.
That'd be quite tasty.
Yeah, very much so. Looking forward to that. Next month, I believe I'm tagging with Ollie Blake at Reach for the Reach Tag Team titles. We're in a championship match there. And what else? I'm working a lot for Superstars Wrestling as well next month.
And absolutely Rumble fantastic. Wrestling. Busy. And one thing that quite intrigued me, and like I really enjoyed doing my research on you, but the amount of success you're having with Nathan Angel as one half of the prestige, one half of the tag team champions in WrestleForce. Any plans to take that tag team further afield, branching out with Nathan as the prestige, or maybe taking it nationwide? Any talks about 2024 being the prestige year across the UK?
Well, it's actually a faction, Jonas, with James Ferrell as well. So we are the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions, and James Ferrell is the WrestleForce Undisputed Heavyweight Champion. So we'd very much like to branch out to these other places, take over as a faction, because we all agree on a lot of things, and we look the part as well, which is a big thing. We're all tall, mean wrestlers, and I love working with James Ferrell and at WrestleForce as well, but I'd like us to branch out as a team, as well as doing my solo stuff, because I really enjoy it. It's a great little thing we have going on there.
There we go. And I think this is the faction you're referring to there. I knew I had the picture somewhere. Wasn't entirely sure whether it was a faction or not, but the three of you in that setting look like the real deal for sure. Got all the gold there, got all the gold. There we go. I mean, that kind of wraps up our interview. But before we ask you for your socials, just a quick reminder about my guests for the remainder of this month. And of course, my next live interview is next Tuesday. Tommy Lawrence coming live onto the show the 9th of January, 9 p.m. UK time, live on Wrestling with Jonas. And like I say, subscribe to us on YouTube or whatever audio platform you're listening to us on right now. And make sure you hit that follow button so you don't miss out on that or any of the other interviews. The 17th, we got Miles Kamen. The 23rd, we've got the Deadly One herself, Nightshade. And of course, we've got Axel Carter coming onto the show the 30th. Some very, very familiar names there with Brandon Lee. And I've already got February's lineup cemented and a lot of March's lineup already in the books as well, kind of ready to announce, but to some big names coming up in 2024 for Wrestling with Jonas. Brandon, it's been awesome having you on this episode 340 of Wrestling with Jonas. But before we let you go, an opportunity for you to tell us where we can reach out to on your socials, so where we can reach out, say hi and learn more about Brandon Lee. But the floor is yours, and I've got it all running along the bottom there, but please go ahead, my friend.
Indeed. So you can find me on Instagram at Brandon Lee PW and on Facebook at Brandon Lee Pro Wrestler. Do you mind if I just say something before we go off air, Jonas? Yes,
the floor is yours. Please go ahead.
If there's anyone watching this that thinks they want to try professional wrestling or be a professional wrestler, I cannot put over ASW South enough. It's just such a good, friendly atmosphere, and it's one of the best places to train in the UK by far.
There we go. Couldn't have said it better myself. But you've got a very, very exciting future ahead of you. And like I say, if the last couple of years are anything to go by, I think your future is going to be very, very bright. And I'm sure you're going to cross paths once or twice with Nathan Angel, by the looks of it. Certainly Liverpool, Hangar 34, the Ignition Rumble. It's very, very excited for your future, both in solo work and tag team work. Can't wait to see you at the various shows this year in 2024. But Brandon Lee, thank you so much for being an awesome guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Jonas.
Take care. See you down the road. Thank you.